Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
Got an idea. How would you like to hear some more of that female bishop preaching in the National Cathedral at the inauguration aimed at Donald Trump? Would you like some more of that?
Do we have to?
Nope. This is Wretched Radio. Just, you know what? Nails on a... No, I'd rather listen to bagpipes.
Oh,
that's how. 877-282-2337.
So this kind of feeds right into that, Bishop. This is from Josh. Todd, is there a difference between false teachers and false prophets? And if so, what is the difference?
No, they're both false, so they share that. I guess it would be, if you're going to make a distinction, the office. A teacher is anybody. So it can be a Sunday school teacher. It could be just a bread and butter Christian who teaches false thing. I think a false prophet would be somebody who has that office or thinks that they have that office because that office does not exist anymore. So I think if there's going to be any distinction at all that I can think of, it would be the difference between teacher and prophet. One is just a teacher. The other one is an office, but they're both false, which means they're both problematic. Eight, was that anything else you can think of, Jimmy?
Just a question that came up between a couple of friends this week over this very same thing. So if you witness a teacher, a pastor who is teaching falsely, you know that they're teaching doctrine outside of orthodoxy.
Yeah.
But they themselves truly believe what they're teaching is correct.
Right.
How do you approach that?
Very, 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 very respectfully. Are we talking about Charlie here? Has he become a heretic?
No.
Hi, Charlie. I think very, very respectfully. I say that because I think that's the admonition. Approaching an elder with an accusation of false teaching, you better bring two or three with you and do it as if you're talking to your father. So that's the starting place. And I think we also... Whenever we're dealing with somebody, elder or not, who professes to be a believer, what is our guiding principle? I think it's 1 Corinthians 13. We believe all things. I want this to be a misunderstanding. And it does. Let's just say that Bob has a false understanding about the Trinity, for instance. He thinks that the Trinity is two persons, the Father and the Son. And now you're concerned because he has not mentioned the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You respectfully approach Bob and say, heretic! No, you don't say that. Hey, Bob, tell me about your understanding of the Trinity. Where'd you get that from? Can I just pull you aside a la Priscilla and Aquila for a moment and explain something to you a little bit more in detail? And if Bob goes, wait, what? I've been misunderstanding. I immediately amend my understanding of the doctrine of the Trinity. Three persons, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Was Bob a false teacher? And the answer is he was confused. He wasn't apostate. He was just confused. He didn't know better. So you want to approach these things believing that maybe there's just something missing here, something that I don't understand, something that needs to be corrected. What if Bob, pastor or otherwise, digs in his heels? Well, that's why you need two or three witnesses. That is why we also lean on historic creeds, not on the magisterium of the Catholic Church, but on creeds. Because most likely, whatever the false understanding that this Bob has, probably covered in the five major heresies that have already been dealt with. And you can go research those and you could bring those to him and say, hey, Bob, regarding your unhitching of the Old Testament, it looks like somebody already tried this. Let's take a look at it. Now, what do you think, Bob? And you do it hoping that there was misunderstanding, a lack of education, because you don't want him to be apostate. Bob digs in his heels. Nope, I believe you should unhitch the Old Testament and there's only two persons in the Trinity. Bob, we got a problem here. And you would then have to with the body. Practice discipline on the pastor. Oof. That can get messy and a little bit tricky, but he's still a sheep. Yep, he's an under shepherd, but he's still a sheep. And as we know, pastors can go astray. And it's the church body's job to rescue any sheep that strays, including the pastor. Always hoping that there's a misunderstanding or that there will be repentance, because we hope all things, trust all things, endure all things, believe all things. We put the best construction on everything, including Bob and his horrible Trinitarian theology. Does that help at all?
Yeah, I would say too, and this isn't true across the board, but I think as you approach a pastor like that, you pick up on a lot based on their teachability. If they have a spirit of saying, you know, I think when you approach a pastor who is genuine, they will understand and receive what you're saying, whether they disagree with you or not.
Look, and if initially he's maybe a little bit curmudgeonly about it, okay, he's having an off day, but you're right. A genuine believer, unless he's going through some strange season, and I don't mean strange like it can never happen, it's just like some funky season, should receive correction. That's the proverbial wisdom that we are supposed to be trying to attain. Yeah, okay, Jimmy, tell me more. Have you heard anything else? Did you ever hear me say anything wrong about this subject? Please correct me. I'd love to know, brother. Now, what if Bob does all of that? He's got a good attitude. But Jimmy, I'm sorry. I just see that there's two persons in the Trinity. Well, then you've got yourself an issue of an individual who is outside of Orthodox historical Christianity. And you should lovingly try to gain him back. Now, if you're going to that church, I would still encourage you to hang in there, to stay there for a bit. Now, if he wins and he brings a bunch of duinity, that's two persons in the Trinity, a duinity, well, then you got to find yourself another church. But I would encourage you to stay there because you love that brother. We're hoping he's a brother, and you want to rescue that pastor. Send your thoughts to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337.
Here's an interesting question from Joe. Todd, how do you grow in a desire for heaven and a love for Jesus without growing in resentment toward everyday life on earth?
Oh, that's, I don't want to make a blanket statement, because increasingly there are some things that we should be hating more and more. Not the good things, the evil things, the fallen things, the broken things. We should be experiencing more and more disdain for those things as the things of this world grow strangely dim. But that doesn't mean that you have to hate this styrofoam cup of tea that I'm drinking that probably is giving me cancer of some sort. You don't have to hate everything to long for something more. Remember, all of the good things, they are to reflect the best thing. All of the gifts are intended to shine the spotlight on the giver. So I don't think that you should ever be hating a cup of tea, unless, of course, you really hate tea. The point is, you drink tea and you go, all right, I don't need this tea to be happy, but wow, how kind of my amazing tea-providing God to give me this beverage that coats my throat because I think I'm getting a little bit of the schmutz. I'm not sure which one. Jimmy, apparently we're under a quaddemic.
A quaddemic?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah, they're scaring us again. A quaddemic. You could get the COVID. You could get the flu. You could get the bronchitis, something. So you should probably go get a jab of some sort is what I'm thinking we're supposed to do here. Let the nice, the non-sinful things of this earth help you to love God more. And simultaneously, do you know what the tea is going to be like in heaven? If you think throat coat is good, if you think that good earth tea, oh man, good earth tea with honey, oh, it's going to be a gazillion times better in heaven. So keep that perspective. Don't hate everything because it's not heavenly. Everything on earth that is good should be a dim reflection of all that is amazing in heaven. And I think you'll be able to find that balance. 877-282-2337.
I can't imagine anyone thinking throat coat is good.
You don't like it?
Oh, it's got a licorice taste.
Exactly.
It works.
And it just, hold on, let me just try right.
It certainly works.
Mm. You know what I was reminded of again today?
What's that?
Okay, when I just did that slurp, Do you know who that didn't bother?
Who it didn't bother? It didn't bother me.
Didn't bother me either.
Yeah.
Might have bothered some of the tens and tens of people listening. Sure. Just like my rapper. They call it misophonia. And I don't know if like my condition is worsening. But protein bar rappers, oh, get that bar out of that wrapper now if you're going to eat it. It just drives me bonkers. This morning, I've got one of those Mambo protein bars, like 30 grams of protein. I'm sure it's not good for you, but it's got protein, and that seems to be all that matters these days. And I realized I'm at my dead, and I'm crinkling away. And I'm sure that everybody in the office surrounding me could hear it, but I was okay with that. Because it's my crinkling. Isn't that the way that it is? Other people do something that you do. It bothers you when they do it, but you give yourself a pass when you do. Why? We are lovers of selves. Aren't we? I just love me some me.
Does it bother you when I cut my fingernails?
Mine are fine. Mine, no problem. Yours go clicky-clack. Mine don't. It's the strangest phenomenon. Oops. I did it again without Britney Spears. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God. But let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to a Wretched Morality Play. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, as soon as the microphone went off the last segment, when I quoted Britney Spears, oops, I did it again, without Britney Spears, I asked you what question?
What was that song about?
Yeah, because I thought, okay, if that was about, you know, but hooking up and all, then that would be that I said it would have been very bad. Ignorant, but very bad. So what did we do to determine whether or not that song, that what I said was appropriate or not? Because I'm more than willing to apologize for it. And by the way, I read the lyrics, and if I did make a mistake, I apologize for that because yikes. But Jimmy, where did you find out if Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears was about Hanky Panky or something else?
I found out at AI.
Mm-hmm. You know what I did?
What'd you do?
I went to the Google machine.
Okay.
And I typed in Oops. I put in too many O's, but nevertheless, Oops, I Did It Again, to find the lyrics, read them, and decide for myself what those lyrics were intending to convey. And that is what your pastor is dealing with. You say, what are you talking about? What does Britney Spears have to do with my pastor? It has to do with AI. Jimmy went to AI to ask it, give me the conclusion of the matter. Mm-hmm. I went to AI to actually do the research and think it through. Jimmy's method was faster. Mine took more time. Who, I would ask you, learned more about Britney Spears, Oops, I Did It Again, me or Jimmy?
You did.
I think I did, because I actually studied it. Right now, as we speak, there is a proliferation of AI sermon tools to help you write your sermon. And they are offering it, of course, at a cost to help you break through. This was an article from the website, the internet. Chris Ezra Dunn wrote this. This was from, it's the Logos app. It's an AI sermon assistant. It'll help you generate illustrations, applications, review questions, and even sermon outlines. The purpose is, quote, to help pastors through creative blocks. The problem, according to this reviewer, is, oh, it does more than help you get through creative blocks. It basically gives you the whole shebang. The primary purpose is to help you break through creative blocks. By doing what? Outlining the sermon, doing exegesis, giving you the language notes. The outline generator produces more than just an outline. It summarizes the passage, gives a pointer to Christ, lists a big idea, provides recommended lines of study as you prepare, and more. Only after all of this does it provide the actual outline, where it also supplies a paragraph under each point suggesting how you might fill the point in. That's not a creative block breaker. That's writing a sermon. There are copy and insert buttons. You can just whoop, put it right into your manuscript. AI will do all of that, of course, for a price. That is the challenge of AI, especially when I don't think Jimmy was wrong to ask AI about Oops, I Did It Again. Because there are times when you just need to find stuff. And if it can actually save you time in just reading through bad articles, articles that never get to the point, having to do a bunch of superfluous research, then I'm all for it. I really am. I'm all for it. But there's also a line that it crosses. And I think, Pastor, you should define that line. And I don't know that there's a perfect rule except for the way I do it, because the way I do it is perfect. I think for the same reason that when I clip my nails, it doesn't make any sound. The point is, you gotta have some rules for yourself. And there might be some variance among different pastors preparing sermons, but I think that if it's doing the thinking work for you, you got a problem. If it's, for instance, here's an example. I'm looking at maps, preparing a sermon for this Sunday about Jesus cleansing the temple. And I was just, I wanted to get a lay of the land. I wanted to see a visual of the temple. And it was kind of small and it was hard to see and I couldn't really read all of the print on it. So I asked the AI machine, please list all of the gates in the Herodian temple, first century. There it is. Okay, I don't think that's cheating. I don't think that's a type of study that is not, that I'm depriving myself of spiritual growth. Now you say, where's the line? When do you rob yourself of growing in maturity because you're not studying the word? I think it's when you're studying the word. I think it's when you're trying to figure out, what is this passage about? What is the author trying to communicate here? What is the message for the group of people that I will be looking at on Sunday morning? You can't circumvent that. You got to study the text yourself. If you want to use it as a quick search engine, I say rock on. But the second it starts doing more than that, okay, what about sermon illustrations and ideas? First of all, I have a confession to make, and you could certainly argue this all day, and maybe if you have to listen to my preaching, you'd argue vociferously. I'm not a fan of illustrations that much. I don't use them often at all. I don't know why. Just don't. I know that there are some people that teach homiletics that would say you need to have an illustration every 7 minutes, otherwise you're going to lose people's attention. Well, I think people watch a 4-hour football game go into 7 overtimes. I think we can handle it. It's just whether or not what you're saying is interesting or not. And so I think that using it to create illustrations, better yet, stop and think. Because if you have to stop and think of an illustration to make a point, chances are you're going to consider your point from more angles. You're going to have to wrestle with, hey, wait, does this illustration actually undermine something else essential in what I'm trying to actually illuminate? So be careful, pastor. I don't think that AI is the enemy of all pastors. But I got to tell you, I can understand how it could be. Use AI very carefully. You want to say something, don't you?
Well, you know, you said something there.
You know how I knew?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Which means you don't want to ask a question.
No, I want to say something.
I got something I want to tell you.
Well, it's just what you said about stop and think. I think that is a very big problem today. We're teaching our kids, our young people, not to think. Thinking gets in the way. Get the answer quickly. And if you have to stop and think about it, it's you're wasting time. This, and I'll say this, this job here, working here in this ministry, is probably the first place I've ever worked where shutting your door and spending time in thought every day is encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to think sometimes. And we're not doing that enough.
No, we don't do that when we read our Bibles enough. I'm actually working on a chapter. Boy, James, that Whipcracker, who's my editor for the next book, have divided up 2 chapters. I wanted to present the biblical case that Christ Jesus is Lord over all. I mean everything. And I wanted to show that the reason that we come to that conclusion is because that is the emphasis of the Bible. Every book of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Wanted to show that. And James went, hey, rather than just practicing an apologetic why the Bible is reliable and that it does indeed point to Jesus being Lord over all, how's about how to read that thing right? And I didn't want to regurgitate Herman Hu, available at FortisInstitute.org, but I wanted to give some helpful hints, and all of them require time. They just require slow your reading down. If your heart isn't warmed by the time you're done reading your Bible, I will not say to you that it was a waste of time, but it was absolutely not maximizing your time. You need to be storing knowledge. I think I mentioned this yesterday, working on a current Paul Harvey. If I were the devil, one of the things that I think that he would do is encourage us to store up theology. Learn Greek and Hebrew so you can parse your vocables and you can your verbs and you can know the different cases. That's what's important. And it's not ultimately important. It's important because God always gets to our heart, meaning the totality of you, through the brain. It is a cognitive process. You got to know stuff. But just knowing stuff isn't the goal of Christianity. And I think the devil loves. I think when you're just pounding the theology, when you're reading your Bible, or you read your Bible because you know you've got to read your Bible, but you really would prefer listening to a lecture on textual criticism. Listen to the lectures on textual criticism, but knowledge is not the goal. Knowledge is the vehicle. Truth, information, that's what transports what God wants you to know and be from your head. It comes through your eyeballs, through your ears, into your brain, which then goes down to your heart. And if your Bible reading does not produce a warming of the heart, then I would encourage you, reconsider how you're reading it. Slow down. See Christ where he is. Learn to use the word to love your God more. That is the point of Bible reading. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.